All right, Ashanti, you're on next, and that gives Lynn a whole chunk of time to, like, get comfy and be the next speaker after you. Only the techies with the mics get to say that. Should he come here? Come here, man.
Okay. Hey, I'm nervous. I'm happy to be here in my nervousness. I don't know why I'm here at this particular house, because this is like a second home to me. But I'm really excited about that Matt has two books now. And the one that's a collective effort, I'm really happy that and honored that I was a part of it. So I want to say, you know, to Matt, I mean, I thank you so much for all the work that you do with the support of this family that I'm so close to. Because all the years that even I myself spent in prison, I didn't know them, but we always knew that there was staunch supporters from other communities, besides the Black communities, besides the Latino communities, you know. And then to come out and actually begin to meet people, and especially, you know, people that just take you right into their home, you know, it keeps me optimistic, you know, because I know that from my background, coming out of a really staunch nationalist movement, did not really want to have too much to do with white folks. You know, Panther Party helped me to evolve, to see that we was in solidarity with people struggling from all kind of different communities, places, spaces, experiences, desires for something better. And so for me, like, to be here now, and it's like, hey, this is what this is all about. These gatherings like these in houses, you know, not necessarily in the real formal popular places, but this is where the real revolutionary stuff for me happens. This is where it really counts. The book, Let Freedom Ring, 900 and something pages, is just amazing. But I know it's just the tip of what else is downstairs in the basement, here on this floor, and on every other floor in this house. But they all have this connection around people's struggles, you know? And to be able to put it in a book, like even right now, we're using it. And like when Matt talked about this, our effort now to get into the UN, to get our stories into the UN, our stories told. Whether it's through the issue of political prisoners or whether it's for the independence of Puerto Rico, you know, like, for generations we've been trying to do this. I remember reading the words of Paul Robeson and others who are William Patterson, "We charge genocide. Let's take it to the international arena." Malcolm X, Robert Williams, and others, to get our stories into the international arena. And it just seems like now we may well be right on the edge of doing this. And if they want documentation, they can go to the book, Let Freedom Ring. You know, simple, Let Freedom Ring. You know, and I love that also, because it just explains what we're all in this for, that we don't have to have a lot of fancy words to describe the freedom that we want. Just let freedom ring. It's the same thing that we said in the 50s and 60s. We want freedom now. And it just meant that we were simple people that wanted decent, dignified lives, able to control our destinies, not abuse the earth and the resources. And there it is. You know, we don't have to fight over ideological stuff. All of those political prisoners and prisoners of war come from those movements that basically put out the same visions, the same dreams, even if they had their own particular artistic forms, whether it was independence for Puerto Rico, sovereignty for the indigenous nations, or when Black folks said, we want a liberation of our people, Black nation, whatever. We had this dream. We were willing to take risks. I think for me, the importance of this book is that it can be used internationally and on the ground. I can see us using that as we already are to get into the marinas now, but I can see it even more importantly for these young folks who are just getting interested in these movements, who are just starting to develop a critical perspective on what's going on and are thinking about ways to get involved. What better way to do it through connecting with political prisoners and prisoners of war, knowing about those who took certain risks from back in the 60s and the 70s to change this world. We're willing to take risks that they knew put their lives on the line. And many of us know that it was not only us putting our lives, that some of those, our comrades, did not make it because they fell. Fell to death, physical, or fell to the death of their spirits, because that's how terrible the repression was. I know comrades who did not recover, who maybe came into the Panther Party, alcoholics, drug addicts, and were able to recover their lives. But after the destruction of our movements from the counterintelligence program, fell back into what they used to do before. And some who never maybe used drugs or alcohol, because of the repression and because of what it did to the spirit, just lost it. Maybe didn't die physically, but some to this day just like will never believe again in the possibility of changing this world. The political prisoners, on the other hand, are living in dungeons, which sometimes we could look at as caskets. The places are so small. 5 years go by, 10, 15, 20, up to 40. They live still in the same circumstances, yet their spirits are not broken. We come in to see them through visits. We go through all of our ups and downs of here, trying to pay bills, raise kids, deal with the madness. Sometimes they're not always in the most robust of spirits going into the prisons. Yet we're going to come out revved because they have revved us up. And it's amazing what that says about the human spirit. It's amazing what it says. You know, so when we tried to do this, when we tried to keep this political prisoner and prisoner of war movement going, we are asking people not just to get involved because they're political prisoners, prisoners of war being treated bad, but get involved because it is recapturing that human spirit. It is also recapturing the ability to dream about something different that they stand for concretely and they are not willing to give up. It is so important. The passing recently of Bashir Hamid hit a lot of us hard. Bashir was one who had said to me on visits that he could come to terms with dying in prison as long as he knew that we were carrying on the movements on the streets. And he just wanted to be connected. Just keep him connected. Let him be a part of that. When he first said that to me, that hit me hard, because when I was myself inside, we made a commitment to each other that when one got out, we would help to get the others out. However, you know, whether it was through legal measures, whatever. And I got out mid to late 80s. And I've been out pretty much ever since. But every day, they are on my mind that they're still in and I'm still out. That's heavy. It's a heavy, heavy, heavy burden. But the only thing that allows me to deal with it is that I keep meeting people who want to do this work around them and around that bigger picture of all the general movements that are trying to make this world better. It keeps me going. It keeps me going. just even today, you know, like coming here today, I seeing all the people come in, and a lot of people from the neighborhood. I mean, I was here, living here, not too long ago, briefly, while I got flooded out of my nice apartment in Far Rockaway. But, and seeing people coming with their kids, and I just met John Henry. Yes. You know, John Henry, can you, I'm like, the name itself, it's like, I thought of the song, John Henry, you know, was a man with a hammer in his hand. I'm like, this little boy gonna come into a free world. Free world. It's the same thing I said, and at the same age that when my daughter was born, my daughter was the same age that he is now, that I went totally underground. Same reason, same optimism that I had then, I have now. Because of him and the children like him, we have got to carry this on, and we have got to be so optimistic about it. The same way that Bashir was, the same way that Noah was. I'm sure the same way that Merle Africa was. You know, it's like, we can do this, because they, inside them prisons under the worst conditions, somehow keep that spirit alive. Why can't we? You know, we are a part of them and they are a part of us. You know, the work around these political prisoners is not just to get them out. It is for us to stay so fully alive that we know that whatever we set our minds to as movements who represents different issues, different communities, that whatever we put our minds to and we say we can do, we want to do, we will do. The same spirit and even better than the 60s. We can let the 60s rest, in a sense. We can bury that part. We can do whatever ritual we got to do. But the struggles that we're involved with today, with political prisoners like really on the top of our agendas, we can make revolution happen again within this empire. We can do it in a way that can bring our political prisoners and prisoners of war home. And for me, they got to be brought home with dignity. Because for me, that means that they're not going to be forced into a situation they got to compromise their values and their convictions in order to get out on parole. But they'll get out, we'll bring them out the same way that Mandela and others have gotten out, because of the power of our movements, rejuvenating, recapturing that spirit. You know, and it's what, for me, these political prisoners represent. They have that. And they just want us to just carry it. And I'm of the firm belief that we can do it. I work with the Anarchist Black Cross and others, and they are ready to carry stuff on. I work with the young folks from the new Black Panther Party. They are ready to carry this work on. I work with the young folks from the Malcolm X grassroots movement. They are ready to carry this work on. And I'm still meeting people. Therefore, I'm convinced, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we can win. We can win because we have people like them inside who represent the best of our humanity. Thank you.